This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the NBA Finals tonight are starting tonight, and we'll see. The question I have isn't so much how the Warriors and the Raptors and Kawhi's play. I am now curious on how Drake is going to react on the sidelines, because Adam Silver has spoken to the rap star and has told him there are lines, don't cross them, and we'd just like it if you could just, I don't know, turn it down a notch while you're sitting on the bench on a court side of the games. I think that conversation was probably pleasant, though. I don't think Adam Silver needed to threaten, like, we'll have to put some technical fouls on the Raptors if you do these things, or we'll have to ban you from the courtside seat. I don't think he had to go that far. I think the NBA loves Drake's enthusiasm for the sport. I think they love his enthusiasm for the Raptors. And I think they wanted to put it, you know, in some sort of context that made him more understanding where his actions were, rather than being more dictatorial in their conversation with them. Because listen, there's a way to play it with Drake that you could say, look, man, we love you. We love what you're doing for our league. Listen, you're a super fan, and we love piggybacking on that. We love the fact that you are an ambassador for the global brand of the Raptors. Love that. But you can't give Nick Nurse a shoulder massage, because you just can't do that. Let's just be honest. You can't. The courtside seat does not entail you to go grab players, touch players, give coaches massages while they're on the sideline. There is a line. Don't cross it. Here's the key, though. The Golden State Warriors were asked about it, and none of them care about Drake. None of them were bothered by Drake. Mike Budenholzer, who came out publicly and said he had, you know, had some problems with Drake, that there were no place for fans, whether it's Drake or the Raptors on the court. There are boundaries and lines for a reason. Steph Curry was like, yeah, he's having fun. Can't blame a guy for having fun. They're more confident in their ability to go to Toronto and get a win, no matter what Drake is doing on the sidelines, no matter how much he's acting, then maybe Mike Budenholzer was with the Bucks. That maybe got under his skin a little too much during the Eastern Conference Finals. Golden State's like, if you want to come out on the court and like actually try to help them beat us, go right ahead, Drew. We don't care, because we're Golden State. We're a three-time champion and going for four. But it starts tonight in Toronto. We'll talk about that and some more NBA news coming up. SB Nation AM.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're celebrating Throwback Thursday, the birth of the Toronto Raptors. It's 1993 music throughout the day today, because the Raptors are making their first NBA Finals appearance. So we thought, why not be nice to the neighbors in the north and say hello? And we recognize your entrance into the NBA 27 years ago? What am I 26 years ago?
Let's not do math here.
I try to do it in my head, and then my brain goes, no, we're not doing this. What are you doing?
Yeah, there's two problems with
this.
Cut
it out.
One is, I mean, you're trying to do math this early in the morning is never a good thing.
Right.
But the other thing is that you and I can really remember 93.
Yeah.
And saying that that's 26 years ago.
Yeah. It's kind of
sad.
That is very true. That's very true. So this was the number one song back in 93?
This was the number one song.
Golly.
This week in 1993.
Yeah, we're counting down the hits.
Yep.
Number one.
No, we're going
backwards. Going backwards in 1993. So we're celebrating the Raptors' birth in the league. They came in at the same time as the Vancouver Grizzlies, right?
Yeah.
Who became the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, no, their official date wasn't until November of 93.
Right, but we just decided, we're going to change the Throwback Thursday rules today and honor them because of their finals appearance tonight.
Well,
so
that,
there you go.
Like I told you yesterday, I mean, everything that happened this week in 93, like, you know, top sporting events, no one really cares.
Yeah, it's all Indy 500 stuff.
Yeah. Unless you want to know about A.J. Foyt. I promised AJ I'd get his name and name on air today.
AJ Foyt. Four-time Indy 500 winner. AJ Foyt.
Well, he won a race. I can't remember the year, but he won a race on this date.
Congratulations, AJ. Congratulations. Toronto Raptors, the 1993 addition to the NBA expansion.
And then a lot of the French finals. Open winners,
oh,
too.
Yes.
You know,
Michael Chang, was he? Did he win on this date?
Did he win a French Open?
Yes, he did. That was his first major.
Was it? I thought his first major was a U.S. Open.
Nope, beat Yvonne Lendl.
Wow.
He was only like 17 years old when he did it. Because I remember being like a kid. I was only a couple years younger, and I was like, wow, Michael Chang, that, how awesome is that? He should still be in school, and we won the French Open. I was like, awesome.
I mean, now I think they should just change it to the Nadal Open.
I know. I don't even know it exists. Like, I used to like the majors for tennis, but I don't watch them anymore, and I probably should, but yeah, it gets like that. I watch Wimbledon. That's about it. And then the U.S. Open's kind of cool, but I used to watch the French. Now I don't watch it.
Listen, there is an interesting question for you. We've been talking about dynasties. You know, we're tired of the Patriots always being there. We're tired of the Warriors being there. Are we ever tired that, you know, the finals always seem to be populated with a Federer or a Nadal or a Djokovic?
That's a good question.
It's almost as if we don't care that those three guys are the ones who seem to win it all. Every single major.
I think if you were passionate about tennis, you could say maybe. But again, I bring this up yesterday. We want to see new blood, but we don't really know why we want to see new blood other than just to see it. Like, does it make us feel better? Does it make us feel good? I'm not talking about teams that you root that are your teams. That's a different thing. But I'm just talking about, I have no dog in the fight, but I think I'm going to root for this team because it's different than that. Okay, but at the same time, I don't know how the emotion is different. So if you're passionate about tennis, maybe you like the dominance because it just, you know, you're in a very good era of tennis where you can say, man, that was watching him win all of those Wimbledons or watching him win all of those French Opens or whatever it is. It's good for the sport to have a moment in history where something like that happened, very much like Tiger Woods in golf. We didn't root for other people in golf. We wanted Tiger to win all of them because it was kind of neat and different, and the domination was something we liked watching. I don't know if you're passionate about tennis. I guess you could make that point. I guess you're right. NBA guys, I mean, I'm hearing more and more people rooting for Toronto just because they just want something different. They want Golden State. They want to see, you know, they know that the demise of Golden State could start happening this offseason with Kevin Durant leaving, and maybe they have to make a decision on Clay, and maybe Clay leaves. But I think they want to see it happen in the finals where another team is celebrating the trophy, you know, with the trophy. And especially a team like Toronto where they never have won before. They've never even been here before, and it would be kind of cool to see. I don't know, nevertheless. But before we get to the final stuff, and we got a lot to get to in terms of dissecting game one and what do we think going to happen. Ron, this news out of Houston about the Rockets and Daryl Morey is very interesting to me. Look, Daryl Morey wants to blow up the Rockets. He's not going to blow it up with James Harden, okay? He's not going to get rid of James Harden. But Adrian Wojnarowski is saying that everything is on the table in terms of trades, in terms of look, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, make an offer, make a phone call. We're going to try to go in a different direction. I like Daryl Morey. I know he's an analytics guy, and I like Daryl Morey, but I am very curious of how this is going to be played out, how they're going to do this. And is it too risky to do this, given that they have a team that, when healthy and playing well, really should have been more competitive against Golden State in the finals? And with the Golden State going through some off-season questions that they've got to answer, is Morey blowing this up too soon to see if he could take advantage of what Golden State might be in deficiency going into next season? But if you get rid of, look, Paul, I get, Paul is old and he's been hurt and he costs a lot of money, all right? And I know that there are people out there that are going to be saying, listen, you make a deal, you can pick up this player, that, but whatever. But there's an opening here in the Western Conference that the door might just be ajar enough to jump in there, especially if Golden State can strike a deal with Klay Thompson. The door might be open just enough to say, listen, don't blow up anything yet. Let's see what Golden State looks like. Let's see what we can do, because you always run the risk of taking two steps backwards rather than one step forward.
I think this is fascinating. I really am interested to see how they're going to build a team around James Harden if they don't want Chris Paul and can get rid of Chris Paul. That's, moving him is going to be very difficult to do. A lot of money, age, and injury. But it is interesting to me to say, look, there are very good teams in the NBA that feel like they're right there. The you look at the Western Conference, it's been so dominated by Golden State. And I've said before, it's very disheartening to have not seen teams being able to kind of rise up to that challenge to say, listen, we're going to have to create something else here. But the Rockets did try. The Rockets really did try, and they took some gambles. Some of the gambles didn't work. Some of the gambles did work, but at least they did make an effort. And I think that they're right there, but Golden State has to come back to them a little bit. But if they take a step back or the gamble doesn't pay off, now the opening isn't quite as narrow. It becomes more closed. It doesn't become an opportunity. It becomes, well, we got to overcome Portland now. We got to overcome Denver now. We got to overcome Oklahoma City and a Spurs team now. We're back into the bottom trying to, move our way out. And, with the Lakers and LeBron James, we might have an additional team in the race in the Western Conference now. It's risky. Now, you have to trust sometimes that the risk is worth taking. We talked about this with Masai Ujiri, right? Yes, I've got DeMar DeRozan. Yes, I've got Kyle Lowry. Yes, I've got a team that plays good defense. Yes, I've got Dwayne Casey as a head coach. But you know what? I've got to blow this up. I have got to change the direction of this team. I can't do the same thing over and over again. I've got to take a gamble and see if it can pay off. So, DeMar, you're going to go off to San Antonio, and I'm going to bring in Kawhi Leonard and Dwayne Casey. We're going to let you go, and Nick Nurse is going to get promoted, and we're going to change what this team is, and we're going to change what this team looks like. And the payoff is that they're in the NBA Finals for the first time. And so Daryl Morey has got a big task on his hand because, again, Paul and Harden work well together when both are healthy and both are playing well. But the reality of it is, if you're trying to figure out a different way that the Rockets need to look, good luck figuring out how to dump the Harden deal. I mean, the Chris Paul deal. Good luck with that. I mean, Clint Capella, not so much. I mean, I think there's going to be people on the phone for Clint Capella, but Paul is different. There's a lot of money attached to a very aging point guard who's been hurt and hurt a lot. But it just goes to show you, again, the larger picture with the Rocket situation is, the larger picture is you can't sit tight and wait for something to develop and something to come to you. There are too many teams making too many changes, and all it takes is one big free agent signing to change the course and direction of your organization. Right? I mean, Zion Williamson could have the New Orleans Pelicans playing better basketball than they had, and maybe they become a team that's in the bottom of the West, rising in the West, but a thorn in your side. LeBron putting together a team in Los Angeles, that becomes another team you got to overcome. Everybody's making changes. Everybody's making big changes, and the Rockets are just one team that has to think large term about where they're heading. It's kind of a fascinating situation when you really think about it, how much this league, you don't build up, right? You build up and then you see if it works. If it doesn't work, you have to figure out another direction. You have to figure it out quick, right? And not only that, when you have to figure it out quick, it could throw you back, right? It could cause you to take two steps back. And all of a sudden, maybe it didn't work out as well as you wanted it to. Now, for the Rockets, I was rooting for them last year. I was rooting for them this year. I saw that team as a real threat to Golden State, and they weren't. And this, especially this year, they weren't. Last year, yes. This year, no. They were not. Had them on the ropes without Kevin Durant, but then the old Golden State Warriors showed up, and the Rockets couldn't adjust and lost that series in six. But, man, Daryl Morey, the idea everybody's on the table in a trade, I'm interested to see where this goes because, again, they brought in Chris Paul to win a championship, and they did not win a championship. They didn't even go to a championship.
And largely, you could say it's because of him that they didn't go to a championship.
That's right, especially last year with that injury. Exactly right. So I don't know. I when I saw that bit of news, I thought, man, this is because, like, look, I remember, the Celtics, for example, just growing up in Boston, just following the Celtics as closely as I did. So the Celtics had their big three, but they would just add, right? They added Bill Walton for the 86 season. They would add But they never once looked and said, oh, we're losing, you know, in later years. Oh, we're losing to the Lakers. Oh, now Detroit is getting a lot better. And this Michael Jordan guy is, if he gets another guy on his team, they're going to be a threat. Let's blow it up, right? They just went, nope, we got this core. And you could almost argue that the Celtics took the core a little longer than they probably should have. Reggie Lewis passing away in the early 90s was a problem for them. But you would never think about just blowing up the team if they failed to reach a finals or failed to reach a finals in a couple of years. You know, that now you have to do that. If you find a formula that doesn't work, you have to find another formula pretty quick, because that's what other teams are doing. And next thing you know, the doormat in your conference is now going to be a 4 or 5 seed because they made the one free agent move, or they got rid of a max contract that was plaguing them, and they were able to secure 2 other players that really helped them rise up. They paired a superstar that they had with 2 other players. It's amazing. This is really interesting news from the NBA. All right, we'll get more into the finals, but I want to get into baseball and coming up, especially what happened in the Astros game last night, the long ramifications of what that situation against the Cubs. I'll tell you what that is next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday, celebrating the birth of the Toronto Raptors, 1993. So this is the music you'll be hearing on Throwback Thursday, as the Raptors making their first NBA Finals appearance. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you get better parts, better prices every day. We have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right. So last night at the Astros game, a line drive hit a young fan who was said to be taken to a hospital. Listen, that I am waiting for the sad news of somebody getting killed with these things. I am waiting for that. I'm not waiting for it, anticipating it, but I'm waiting for it, because I think one day it's going to come. That is so shockingly horrible. But I don't know what the answer is. I've gone back and forth on this in terms of Major League Baseball setups, in terms of stadium setups. There is protective netting that goes down to a certain point, and all Major League Baseball stadiums have complied with the protective netting. There used to be barely any at all. But now they're saying, listen, it should go all the way down to the line. I don't necessarily know if that's necessary. But if it stops a situation where a young kid gets hit by a line drive, and Albert Almora was devastated by this. Did you see the video of how he just went down to the ground?
Yeah.
After hearing about this and seeing about this? I mean, devastated.
It's gut-wrenching.
Jeff Passan, who was at the game, said it was his most distraught he's ever seen any player over that. Real Sports did an episode of this where they talked about how in Japan, the netting goes like all the way down the line. I mean, that's it. Netting goes all the way down the line. But in here in the United States, we kind of fight that a little bit. We don't want that. We don't want netting, even though it's not really obstructing your view. We just don't want it.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, the people who sit behind home plate, do they ever complain about the netting?
No, never. And it's a great seat to have.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ones you want the most. Those are the ones you fight over as much as possible. Or even like right behind, you know, right to the left of it, right to the right of it, where there is netting. You never hear people going like, these seats would be so much better if we didn't have this net here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Now, the problem is that this is one of the problems, is that a story like this they're rare. They don't happen all the time, but it almost is to a point where, yeah, but still you don't want it to have happen at all. Right. I mean, a child was hit by a line drive. Those things are cooking, and they're solid, you know, spheres, which what I worried about. And here's what I was worried about when I was reading this story. When I saw it come up on my newsfeed, here's what I was worried about. The child got hit by the line drive. He was taken to a hospital. By all accounts at the time, he was conscious and he was okay. You know what I was worried about? I was worried about 2 hours later, the child died because there was some internal bleeding or something like that, like where he appeared fine, but then he wasn't fine. Right? Because those kind of stories you hear about occasionally, where a guy gets hit, he gets hit in the head, and then he dies later, but at the time he looks okay. Right? That's what I was worried about, because these are really, really horrific injuries. Well, you don't really know what is going on. You really got to get them examined. You got to check for everything. You don't know how the brain is, if he gets hit in the head, you don't know how the brain is going to result. You don't know if he's going to pass out. You don't know what's going to happen. You got to get him to a hospital immediately. I remember as a kid, there was a kid who got hit by a ball at Fenway Park. And I remember Jim Rice, who was the outfield for the Red Sox, jumped into the stands to get the kid and get him through where the Red Sox dugout, because that was a quicker way to get him the help he needed. Like, this was a really, really sad, sad situation. And Major League Baseball is answering for this. Like I said earlier, Albert Almora was devastated. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
Everybody came out and obviously tried to talk to me. And obviously, I didn't want that to happen. And I didn't intend for that to happen. The rest was kind of a blur, the rest of that at bat. I finally kind of came to my senses after the next half inning when I went over to the stands. This team did a great job, and they asked me if I wanted to keep playing, and I thought it was the right thing to do, just stay. And I think it would have been worse for me if I would have gone out of the game mentally. On official reports of how she's doing have kept me going.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's he probably was better off not stewing in the thought.
Yeah, he had to
trying
stay
to get his
in the
mind
game
off of it. Yeah, absolutely.
And what I take a moment for this too, Astro fans. They really supported him. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was a moment later on in the game where he came back up to bat, and, you could still tell. I mean, it was still bothering him, and they were giving him just short of a standing ovation, just letting him know, like, yeah, you know what? I mean, it happens, and, it's not your fault. So, come on, bud. You gotta fight through it. But you could tell. I mean, he almost sounded like he was going to break down in that little video clip as well.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a young girl that was hit. And listen, I can't imagine that. I mean, I can't imagine going through that. I can't imagine, those feelings that you have when you know that there's a little girl going to a hospital, you don't know how she's going to turn out. And it comes at something you can't control, but at the same time, you are attached to it. That's got to be devastating.
Yeah.
It's got to be just devastating.
Just that scene where he's, when he just collapsed into the umpire's arms.
Yeah. Oh God. It's heartbreaking. So yeah. Is it simple then just extending the netting all the way down? I mean, it's not economics. We know that, right? This is something that's easily fixed.
Yep.
But listen, I used to go to Fenway Park. My father always had good seats. I used to always bring my glove. But there were times my brother and I weren't paying attention to the game.
Of course.
Like, we were kids. We would get distracted. We would do something else. We'd punch each other or whatever it is that we were doing. And any second, a ball could be rifling towards us. Right? I mean, just right. You never know. I mean, the speed of the baseball coming off the bat could be 100 miles an hour. Right? I mean, you wouldn't hit a kid in the head with a pitch that was 100 miles an hour. So if we can prevent this from happening, and listen, I'm pointing out the kids because it was a little girl last night that got hit. But let's be honest, it could happen to an adult too, right? I mean, let's not, we shouldn't put the net ups to protect kids. We should put the net ups to protect fans. Could be anybody. But I think Major League Baseball has got to start figuring this out. Because like I said, I don't know if it's on YouTube or how to find it, but Real Sports did a whole good article, good segment on this on their program about these kind of incidents, how in Japan, how they protect their fans with protective netting all the way through. It's too dangerous. Last night was really scary. Close call. I hope she recovers fully. I hope she's fine. I hope everything's great. She was, three or four rows up. She was a couple of feet past where the netting comes to an end. Maybe it is time to extend it, because last night was pretty, pretty scary. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we're cruising along on a Thursday morning NBA Finals Game 1 tonight. We'll get a little bit of insight into that coming up next. We'll be right back.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating 1993, the Raptors getting a franchise to the NBA. They would start, what, in 94?
95.
They would start. But 93 was when the city of Toronto knew that they had an expansion franchise. And so they looked around and said, what can we name this? What can we name this new NBA franchise? And they chose Raptors, which is kind of a cool name, but
Do you know the other options?
What were the other options?
I was reading it yesterday, and some of them are laughable. Like I would hope to God we'd never have a team named this.
Like the Toronto Maple Syrups or something like that?
No, you know, I guess maybe not that bad.
All right.
Oh, I'm trying to find where did I see that list? I mean,
Toronto Baby Tigers?
No, there was, I know there was the Toronto
Dog Poodles.
You could have had the Toronto Beavers.
Ugh, no.
That, I mean, that strikes fear, right?
Right.
I mean,
no offense to you Oregon State people, but
nah, here we go. So
no.
There were 11 prospects. And I guess they put this to a fan vote, and then they unveiled it on national television, on Canadian national television. That's how big of a deal it was. But here are the choices we could have had. We could have had the Toronto Beavers, the Toronto Bobcats, that ended up being taken by somebody else, Toronto Dragons, Grizzlies, which obviously went to another team. How about this Toronto Hogs?
Really? That was a choice?
Hogs. And then you have Scorpions, T-Rex, Tarantulas, Terriers, and Towers.
You know, the problem with some of those names is they sound really amateurish.
They sound like, a group of kids trying to choose their team name for a soccer team.
Yeah, right? Like when you guess exactly, like, what do we want to be?
We want to be the Tarantulas.
The Tarantulas. Yay. All right. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, Tarantulas. That's exactly right. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Just in case you're curious, the runner-up was the Toronto Towers.
Towers?
Towers.
Like in big buildings?
Yes.
Okay, that's not good, but... No, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, Raptors had the Jurassic Park tie-in.
And that's why they named it, because it was, the film was very popular.
The film was out.
That's why T-Rex was up there as well.
When I was a kid, I learned about dinosaurs, when I was a kid. And, like, I learned about T-Rex and Stegosaurus and Triceratops and Brontosaurus. But nobody ever told me when I was a kid about the raptor with his claws that would tear you out and eat your innards and, was smarter than you were. Like, no teacher told me about that. It was only until Sam Neill in the movie, when he was describing the raptor to that scared kid, that I realized that such a beast actually existed. And now the raptors went... Toronto went, yeah, you know what? Let's get that. Let's, smart animal that kills and eats people. Yeah, that's what we want. That's our NBA franchise. Let's dive into that and let's own that one. Good for them.
But
remember those purple uniforms?
Oh, yeah.
They had?
I mean, the good thing about naming your team the Raptors is that it does give way to a really cool fan gathering, with
it does.
Jurassic Park.
It does. It's very cool.
Where you call it outside. I'm not even sure where it is in relation to the stadium. Is it right outside the stadium?
It's got to be right downtown, right near the stadium. But maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't know the city of Toronto that well.
Me neither.
So, but yeah, no, you're right. Clever girl.
You remember the who the first general manager was?
The first general manager of the Raptors? Oh, you're going to tell me and I'm going to go, oh, yeah. But you're going to have to tell me.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. Raptors.
And their first choice in the expansion draft was B.J. Armstrong.
B.J. Armstrong.
Who refused to report for training.
He didn't want to go there.
and promptly was traded to the Golden State Warriors.
Was he playing for the Bulls at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't want to go to some expansion team.
Expansion team.
Think about it. 95, 93, just coming off a championship.
Yeah, exactly. You're playing with one of the best players in all of sports.
Why do you want to leave that?
all of a sudden you're being told you got to go to an expansion team in another country. I mean, what are you going to? How do you, that's a big, that's a slap in the face.
How does your agent pull that one off?
Right, exactly. I got good news and I got even terrible news.
Yeah, the good news is, you know, people really want you.
People like you. They love you. Bad news is you got to go to Toronto and play for the Raptors expansion team and leave Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Oh.
Now, I found this interesting because this is how much life has changed in, what we figure, 26 years?
26 years.
This is how much life changed. They almost didn't give Toronto a franchise.
Really?
The reason being is that their gambling, betting on games was huge in Canada.
Oh, so they were like, uh-oh, we ain't touching that with
and
a 10-foot
NBA,
pole.
You know, wagering on NBA games is no-no. For them, that is that almost
so incredible. That is so incredible. That is unbelievable how in 26 years we have a totally different mindset on it.
Yep.
It's amazing. Now, I'm telling you.
Like, I mean, if you heard that, oh, we, you know, this city can't have a franchise because there's gambling. Like, people are like, whatever.
Forget it. I kid you not. That is the way marijuana is going in sports. That is that is right. We look back now and go, oh, how ridiculous was that? That an NBA wouldn't go to Toronto because of gambling. Look, gambling's now all over the. Oh yeah, marijuana testing is going to be the same thing. It's going to leagues won't test for it. They won't care. That's going to happen within 10, if not sooner, 10 years or sooner.
The only
we're
way to
look back and go, oh my God, we actually suspended people for doing this.
The only way it was able to happen was that the Raptors had to agree to pay, it was the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation. They had to agree to pay them $5 million in its first 3 years to make up for the loss.
No kidding.
It did go to them directly. They threw it to a charitable organization.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
I never understood the problem that these leagues had. When I lived in Vegas, I moved to Vegas when I was young. I was in my 20s. And so I didn't know about gambling. I didn't know about betting on sports or whatnot. So I really took a lot into, like, people who told me about the industry and whatnot. I really absorbed a lot of information from them. And what I learned was there's no better place for sports to be monitored for corruption than gambling, because the sports books will monitor that stuff and report any sort of discrepancy in the betting to authorities, right? Remember, this is how Arizona State got caught. Remember Arizona State was in this scandal? It was sports books noticing there were a lot of Arizona State kids betting very heavily against their team. And that's when they started going, that's not normal. We know the normal trends. And when we see things that are out of the trend and consistently enough, we are alerting authorities. People think that because Vegas had legal gambling, that if you had a team in Vegas, there would just be people fixing games. That's not how gambling works. It's not how betting works, right? So basically, the casino is trying to get even money on both sides so that they could pay Peter from what Paul lost, and then they take a commission in the middle. And when I learned that, I said, "Oh wow, that's why would Adam Silver and these not David Stern at the time? Why would David Stern? Why would he be so anti Vegas getting a team? Because remember, the Maloof brothers wanted, you know, they were big in Vegas. They wanted to move the team and whatnot. And now." Oh, forget it. All these leagues are in bed. As soon as gambling became legal, these leagues are jumping on the opportunity to partner with them, jumping on the opportunity to get the cash cow. So that's a pretty good nugget of information about the Raptors and their early existence in the NBA, that they were almost denied a franchise because of gambling, legal gambling in Toronto. That's pretty wild. In 1993, that would be an insane and heard of. You had to come to some sort of, not a penalty, but some sort of way that Toronto can get over that hump, because that's a stigma attached to their franchise. That's crazy. But tonight, game one, listen, I've gone back and forth on this series in terms of what I really am looking for. I don't think that Toronto is going to win this series. I think it could go six games. I don't think it can go seven. I think the problem with the Warriors is they don't have to play great to beat you, and Toronto has to play perfect to beat them. And that's the difference. I think Golden State can have a game in which Steph Curry doesn't play particularly well and you notice some things that they didn't do right, or maybe their defense wasn't as good, but they could still find a way to squeak by beating the Raptors. But if the Raptors don't play a perfect game, like a, just where Kawhi gets all his points and defensively they lock down Steph and then all these other role players chip in, if they don't get any of that, they're not going to win a game in this. They're not going to win this series. They're not going to win a game in this series. And I think they'll get one. I think they could get two, but Golden State's just too good right now. And look, there's going to come a time where this is going to fall apart, where Golden State is not going to be the juggernaut. But in this series, they are going to be the juggernaut. This series, they are going to be the champion. I just don't see it. Now, I'm watching because I want to see how good Toronto may be in this series. Maybe something works for them. Maybe they find something. But I read something today where the author was writing, I wish I could remember who it was to give them credit, but the author was pointing out that Kawhi has to be LeBron James. Well, there's really only one LeBron James, and Kawhi has taken these playoffs to another level, but he has to do something that really only one player was capable of doing in his run with Golden State, and he only beat them once, right? I mean, that's a lot for Kawhi Leonard to shoulder in this series, is to be as good as one of the top players to have ever played the game against a team that might go down in history as one of the best teams ever put together. That's a lot to ask. Now, are they going to get one or two? In all likelihood, that crowd is too, that's going to be a momentum switch for Toronto that I think they'll have a split. You know, they might get a split the first two games, or Golden State wins game two or game one, whatever it is, and Toronto will get their first game and it'll feel like it's a series, but it won't really be a series. And, you know, they'll go back to Oakland and Golden State will, take care of their two games there. They'll go back to Toronto. Then, you know, just, it doesn't feel like this could be Toronto's year. Doesn't mean they're not going to be entertaining. I mean, watch it for the entertainment value. But I think in the end, Golden State wins this. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1993, celebrating Throwback Thursday on the incident where the Raptors were given an NBA franchise. Is this Ugly Kid Joe?
Yes!
Oh! Touchdown, doing the Jim Croce song. Yep. This is a running joke. This song is a running joke between my son and I, because every time he says to me, "Hey, Dad, you want to go do this?" And I go, "Hey, I got to do something for work." He goes, "All right, Cat's in the Cradle." And I go, "Oh, stop with that nonsense."
Oh, that's awesome.
And he just does that all the time now, all the time. He'd be like, "Oh, Dad, you want to go to a movie?" And I'm like, "Oh, I can't. Oh, Cat's in the Cradle." And I'm like, "Shut up.
All right.
You don't need it.
Grab my jacket. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Make me feel terrible." I'm like, "Ugh." So
let me find my keys.
Exactly. Goodness. So I said earlier at the top of the hour, Drake has been told to calm down. I don't think he's going to calm down.
I don't know what people are in arms. I mean, always on the back of my ticket that says, you know, give coaches back rubs.
Exactly. What do you think Adam Silver had to say? Listen, man, we don't want to penalize Toronto, but we're going to. If you
did
keep
he
this
call
up.
Drake directly?
Yeah. Does he have Drake's straight up number? Or did he have to go through Fortune to get to him?
That's that's what we want to know.
How tight
are Adam Silver and Drake?
If Adam Silver said, "All right, I gotta meet Drake for a meeting," how does he do that? Does he contact the Raptors? Like, how does he set up a meeting with Drake?
And does he meet him halfway? Is it one of these things where he says, "All right, Drake, you cannot rub coaches' backs, you cannot storm the court, you can't do any of that. You can't be a part of the team celebrations. On the flip side, I will appear in some of your music videos."
Right, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah, if you need me for any of your crazy videos, your fun videos, I'm game. I can do that.
I mean, has an NBA commission, has any sports commissioner ever really appeared in a music video?
Right, yeah.
Can you see
no.
Adam Silver, you know, getting down at a house party?
David Stern's never appeared in a music video for anybody.
Of course not.
David Stern's never even for just a minute appeared in a video for any artist.
He never would do that.
David Stern.
And if offered, he would be the first person to jump all over it.
That's true. That's very true. So if you're Drake, like, do you take it seriously? Do you go, did you say yes and then still be like, oh, I'm going to do my, like, when you're that kind of global artist, very, very rarely do people tell you what you can and can't do.
Yeah. Do emotions get the best of you?
Yeah.
I mean, what if you're in Toronto, game-winning shot happens for Toronto, Kawhi Leonard throws up that prayer deep in the corner again, and they beat the Warriors? He can't contain himself.
He's not going to be able to contain himself, is right.
Just let it happen naturally. It's okay.
This is so fun. Here's this guy. He literally thinks he just can do whatever he wants, go wherever he wants, anywhere he wants during an NBA playoff game. That's great. But you know what? Listen, you have to be really careful, because I said this at the top. Drake, if you're the NBA, you love Drake. You love the enthusiasm. You have a major global superstar. He's enthralled with your product. He loves your product. So you want to bottle that, because that's sellable. But you can't have him go give back rubs to the coach. You can't have him give massages to the coach. He can't touch players or be on the court or arguing with the refs or anything like that. But at the same time, you do not want to discourage the kind of enthusiasm he has for the Raptors, because that's good for business. But the other stuff isn't good for business.